The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Correctly, the United States of America is in fact a corporation that even owns other corporations, you know, sub corporations. And I mean, wow, you know, when I came across that fact, it just kind of blew my mind. So that is a factual statement when I say the USA Inc. And this election season, and all of the people that's being promoted to you through the mainstream media, and this, let's just say, the selectees in terms of the voting process, and telling me that this is who the people voted for, and all of that. If, especially if you're talking about the Democratic Party's nominee, I'm not trying to hear that with all the reports of voter fraud and disenfranchisement and the DNC violating its own rules. And so I don't see why anybody would endorse that kind of crooked process, regardless of the clown, the buffoon, the guy who's playing a role, probably came up with the ideal, probably planted in his mind by one Bill Clinton on the golf course or something, or who knows why they both were visiting the convicted predator, child predator, who held sex slaves and what have you at his private island, the billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, I believe is how you pronounce his name. All of this is information that's not going to be featured on CNN, MSNBC, or anything like that. No, their job is to get you pulled into this fictitious race, all right, when there is just really evidence of fraud, especially on the Democratic side. So all we're doing is electing people, and when we're talking about the federal government, we're just electing people to be board members, to have a vote as board members on what the corporation is going to do in terms of waging war on people, on terms of passing special laws that benefit companies like Monsanto with the recent Hiding the Information from the People Act. That's what I call it, where you got to have a smartphone to read your food labels to see if they got GMOs in it. So I mean, it's just ridiculous. I believe the power lies more closer to the people. That's where you had to start off, to control your local politics. Then if you can't control your local politics, meaning your city councils, your town councils, you know, depending upon the size of the population of whatever corporation, because these are corporations too, that has jurisdiction over where you at. So you want to get as many board members as possible that have your controlling interests. That is how it works. That's where the real power lies over our day-to-day lives as black people, In this country, as oppressed people, as with any people, you must control your local politics. Then you are trained, you are organized enough to then take over state offices. Then maybe you can talk about, you know, a federal insurgency like the Tea Party tried, but that got bought out as well. So this program right here, it isn't really for certain types of people that don't participate in that process, and I certainly understand why. But it is a program focused at interpreting what the masses are seeing through the corporate state media channels, propaganda channels, and what have you. Somebody has to wake them up. And so in order to wake them up, you got to talk about what they're talking about, and so to speak. So, but if you're a person who, you know, that kind of thing, it doesn't interest you, this is probably not the program for you, because I do talk a lot about political issues, how they are controlled, because politics, in my opinion, controls all nine areas. And so if you're going to focus on an area, why not start there? And again, I'm talking about local, because even though we're, you know, people practice politics all the time within groups, you know, children when they are in high school, and these cliques and different cliques, and the poor kids, the rich kids, the popular kids, the you know, the different cliques. That's all politics. That's all politics. And they even teach them at a young age to participate in politics when they elect class presidents and things of that nature. So I think it's a very important people activity area, to since everybody practices it in one form or fashion. But more importantly, when politicians can pass laws that say it's legal to do such and such to a human being who hasn't caused any harm to anyone, then that's a cause for concern. That's even been a cause in the history of the world for people to take up arms against the tyrannical governments or corporations that are practicing slavery, for example, which is legal here in the United States by way of the U.S. Constitution. So I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I do have a program agenda for you today. I am going to keep it to an hour because, as many of the regular listeners of the network know, we have launched a social networking community that is tied to this radio station, this platform, Blad Talk Radio Network. And, you know, we've heard conversations over the years about Black people saying, you know, why don't we have this or that, or somebody do this or somebody do that. So in the spirit of that, you know, that is what the new community is about as we continue to do things. So really been tied up with that, so I want to keep it to an hour. Already identify some bugs need fixing, and then there's another layer or upgrade to that platform. So I'm very, very busy. You know, if I had the Black Talk Media Project, for example, our Black Media crowdfunding campaign, we've only raised about $2,000 this year. That's not enough to hire a staff to help you to implement these things and what have you, let alone pay yourself anything. You know, basically, you're just covering operation costs at a minimum, you know. So the whole, like my sister joined in when I was telling her about it, she was like, well, what's the benefit of having a subscription as opposed to what's free on Facebook? So I had to give her this pitch. And I'm glad she asked me that question, because other people might be asking that question, but I'm not going to go into a long pitch. But the thing is nothing's truly free. And I think many of you will agree with that. When people that like a Mark Zuckerberg, the board members of Facebook Incorporated, all of these people, they've been around long enough for you to know their politics, to know the things that they are engaged in, the censorship that takes place on their networks and what have you. So, you know, we've heard these conversations again for over a year. You know, you can escape all of that. Again, you know, nothing's free. They're data mining you. They are sharing your data, allowing the intelligence services, even local police departments. Your employer goes on there, and you know, and people gotta literally watch over their shoulder what they post on Facebook, because they make you use your real name no more, you know, unless you're clever enough to escape that. I've seen some people do that, but you know, they want your real name. There's no anonymity. Yeah, you can set your streams private and things of that nature, but they're still allowing law enforcement on the network to set up Facebook pages, profiles, things of that way. So really, it's a community based on Black Talk Radio Network, and we kind of promote social activism and you know, coming up with solutions and having the conversations, providing a global platform for those conversations to be had. And that, this is just an extension of that. So that gives you security and you know, of course she knows me better than you all, because she's my baby sister. So she, you know, she saw the benefit. And then plus two, we don't have to go to, as I was telling Brother Dave, we don't have to go to the banks, which he tells you are about to fail every day and things of that nature. But we don't have to go to anyone for a loan for just $5 a month if you want to do a month-to-month subscription, or $24 a year, that's $2 a month, a subscription. And so you have your private network, ad-free environment. You're not getting hit in the face with all these ads and subliminals from these corporations and whatnot. It is totally a member created environment. So sister signed up and she joined and had a couple of other people join. So that's really what I'm focused on right now, because that could really fund the vision of the Black Talk Media Project based on Malcolm X saying that media controls the minds of the masses. And so we want to build the radio centers that are local to those communities where they are producing and managing a digital radio station with local talent, build social media platforms for the local community, because that does facilitate, you know, organization, taking advantage of the tools. It's about how you use it and not allowing technology to be used against you. So, said I wasn't going to go into a long pitch. Let me talk about what I want to share with you today. By the way, the program notes for today's program can be found on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. I have a link. It has been made. The event that we posted there allows me to, you know, make notes about whatever the topics I want to talk about, and I can make it so that the public can view it. And right now it is viewable by the public, so you don't need a membership. It's set to public, but you can see the stories and get the links to the stories that we'll be talking about there, and that's on the new community that we have set up. Again, only going to be on for about an hour, so I got about 45 minutes left. Let me give out the phone numbers if you have a quick comment, observation you want to share, question you want to ask. So the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound, hit *61 to comment on air. The studio line is open. That is 704-951-5030. That is 704-951-5030. All right, now today's topic, Malia Obama. I don't know if y'all saw the video. The video is posted at community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. I thought about whether I should post it or not, but it's out there. It's out there. Millions of people have already viewed Malia Obama at a concert in Bogota, Colombia, which is a narco state that the United States gives them millions, who knows, hundreds of millions by now, to prosecute a drug war, where you had DEA agents actually going down there and having parties with sex workers, paid for by the drug cartel. So all of that corruption, you know, that has been going on, a lot of people don't want to talk about it because their favorite celebrity figurehead is installed as CEO. So let's just ignore that sort of stuff. So anyway, it's not that I wanted to say that Malia Obama did anything wrong. You know, people talking about, oh, she embarrassing her, but she ought to know it's her president. I mean, her father's the president and stuff like that. But they ain't looking at the fact that this girl is being, I mean, I'm looking at it like this. She is being surrounded. I see her quote unquote friends are all white. Is anything wrong with that? Okay, with all white friends. Well, there's nobody else in the community, you know, that you live in. And I have quite white so-called friends, you know what I'm saying? So but I'm seeing her going, like my daughter was saying, she probably done went to all these private schools where it's nothing but rich white kids and what have you, and so she has made her friendships through there, and now that's who she's traveling to Brazil to go to the Lollapalooza concert and party, you know, because the video came out with her twerking. She did like a little twerk got up on the stage, somebody in the crowd videotaped her being a teenager at a concert doing the stuff that she's being influenced to do by the ratchet media that the music industry puts out there. So again, you know, she's just a child. She influenced by mass communications or mass media just like everybody else. So, you know, I'm not going to judge her on that basis. She's a young teenager, 18 years old now, about to go to college, and her parents had the money. She can go to these different things, and she's doing what millions, possibly billions of other people do too at that age and go out there and party. So I ain't caught up on her smoking the weed or anything like that, but also her so-called friends. This girl is like doing a selfie, and she's really recording Malia Obama smoking the weed, puffing on, taking a few hits on the joint. So that ain't her. That ain't Malia's friend. I don't know if that was somebody who just walked up to her. You know, I don't know where Secret Service was that they could get close to the child. I don't know who these people were, but it was all white people, and it was a white person, and you could just look in their eyes and see that they had mal intent towards, oh, I'm gonna record this and it's gonna blow up and I can make some money by putting it on YouTube. Because once them YouTube videos, man, can pay you, you can get a nice chunk of change off of YouTube if your video go viral, like the dude from Korea, South Korea, who had the little song, I forget the name of, but the Korean dude, and you know, he dressed in neon colors and whatnot, and it even turned into a peanut commercial for him, and it was real popular. Even had Obama talking about it, you know. And so that dude made, I bet you he made over $1 million, because I think it broke like a YouTube record. So you can make money, and so that's probably their motive, you know. And so they just, you know, but the people reaction that I have been listening to is the wrong reaction. I mean, they're asking the wrong questions and what have you. This is more than just about the daughter of the first lady and the POTUS, the CEO of USA Inc., smoking weed like millions of other kids do, or partying. Remember the Bush girls? I heard people mention that, you know, out of the country and got drunk, and that's what kids, they go on college campuses every day. But guess what though, most of them ain't getting arrested, they ain't getting prosecuted, they ain't, you know, ending up on the prison plantation as a prison slave. Some of them, a very small percentage of white people, do get caught up, especially in the rural areas like I'm in, you know, where their only income might be selling drugs and making drugs like crystal meth and stuff like that. So our county jail, because of the drug war, stay full of white people more than anybody else, because, you know, we just have a very small percentage of total black people in this quote unquote county that I live in. But overall, when we look at the 2.5 million people who are in prison or jail behind nonviolent so-called drug crimes through the drug war, which Nixon in the 70s admitted was the target, anti-war, hippies, and black people, And so that's when we look. So that's what we should be talking about. It was brought up on some of the commentary I've been hearing, the fact that it is legal in several different states. And they were asking, you know, where she was. They thought this was in the U.S. It was actually in Colombia, which I'm sure because the United States is paying them millions of dollars to fight a drug war, a fake drug war that has led to all kind of violence, and that it really empowers the illegal drug gangs and getting people killed in the crossfire and all of that. So I'm betting you, I'm willing to bet you a dime to a dollar that it's illegal, and cannabis is illegal in all its forms. Because, see, this has come up. If you've been a regular listener of this program over the years, y'all know when I reported, I had reported that President Obama traveled to the conference or the Organizations of the Americans, the OAS. They have all these different alphabet names, you know, CIA, who can keep up with them all. But he traveled down there, and one of the things that was brought up by the regional nations, and mostly, you know, Central America, South America, and the United States. And so they were saying that we want to legalize cannabis and all that. And Obama, you know, they got them countries, and he the CEO of USA Inc. So don't take it personal like I'm putting it all on one person. He the CEO. He the figurehead. If you talking about Facebook, who you pointing to? You pointing to Mark Zuckerberg. So he's the current. He, you know, Obama is the current CEO of USA Inc. So he told them no, that the board members have voted and we want to keep this drug war because we profit in too much off of slavery. Unicor is making us too much money with these prison slave services and what have you. All the states and all the other corporations that give us lots of money to our campaigns to put us in the office, that's the agenda. So, you know, no, y'all can't legalize it. In fact, we're going to give y'all U.S. taxpayer money we have taken from the taxpayers by force, and we're going to give that money to y'all and arm y'all with all kind of military weapons, provide y'all with military training, and then that way y'all can, you know, fight a war against those who growing the drugs and what have you, instead of legalizing it like they did alcohol and what have you. So that's the only conversation I want to hear about Malia Obama being caught on. I want to look at it deeper. And of course, we should look at, you know, why you had to be, especially as a non-white person, specifically a black person, a very, very battlefield aware when you around a bunch of white people. Because I'm willing to guarantee you, you know, there's going to be quite a figure, quite a few of them that are looking to practice racism. So there's a lesson for our children, you know, to learn from that. You cannot trust people, especially when you are a high profile figure or whatever, or even if you just a person on the street. Somebody will record you doing something like that and put it out there on Facebook, Fedbook, as Dave calls it. And then the local police department, who also got a Facebook profile and follow people and all this and that, and you marked it public, you might even tagged it for the county or the city you live in, and then they like, oh, we got the evidence right there, we got the video, now we coming to arrest this person. And it has happened a countless number of times. So that's a lesson to be learned from it. But let's look at it also from the grand scheme of things, that the fact that at least 70% of the 2.5 million people in prison or jail is over a plant Mother Earth has given us that has medicinal value. And the President Obama should be ashamed of himself, not ashamed of his daughter. Because there ain't nothing he could say to his daughter about smoking weed when he put in his book how much he smoked weed. And he on video as candidate Obama in 2007 asked about, you know, cannabis prohibition in the drug war and if whether or not he ever smoked weed or anything like that. And he laughed and said he smoked it a lot and he got high. That was the point. I'm not putting words in this man's mouth. I'm paraphrasing. Look the video up yourself. And he's talked about in Hawaii where they got the some of the best kind of homegrown weed on the planet. And he over there, his high school get high buddies had a name for themselves. It was called the Choom Gang. Choom like as in choom, 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 like a chimney, like a train, you know, puffing smoke out. The Choom Gang. So he put that out there in the public, even for his daughter to see. And he laughed about it in the interview like it was a joke. So ain't nothing he could say to his daughter. Now, Mama Obama might, you know, I don't see her putting herself out there like that or whatever. But, you know, obviously she ain't got no problem with her husband having that kind of background. And I'm not saying she should. But I'm sure, you know, within that family that Michelle Obama is going to correct this child. And we need to use this as parents as a teaching moment for how you choose your friends, how you act in a battlefield environment, situational awareness, battlefield awareness, whatever you want to call it. But then let's go deeper and ask the question, is it right that people should be put into slavery over this plant that so many people use for various reasons, recreationally and medicinally? And for her father, CEO Obama, to say that I know that marijuana is no more dangerous than alcohol, but then through policies totally within his jurisdiction, within his authority, and I don't care to hear any excuses unless you telling me that he's a monkey wrench. That's a new term I come up with for black people who how white supremacists view you when they use you as a tool. A monkey wrench is, if you Google it, it's a wrench that's in a toolbox. They call it a monkey wrench. And I think even Jack Johnson, the black boxer, is the one who actually invented this and patented it. But I'm adopting it to proxy racism. Unless you telling me that the President Obama is a monkey wrench, because we know white supremacists and racists look at black people as monkeys, and they're using him as a tool, therefore he's a monkey wrench, to keep black people targeted, because that's who being targeted. Let's just be real about it. The statistics show they ain't targeting anybody else more than they're targeting us. So for him to be a monkey wrench and leave that policy in place and tell us when he's questioned about it, and not even telling us as black people, but telling white people who asked the question, why don't you remove that cannabis from the scheduled list of drugs? Of the most drugs that you say are very, very dangerous, have high addiction rates, they have no medicinal values, they can't be used to treat anyone medically or treat any conditions, when there is a mountain of science, which I even made a video and showed all the different scientific studies that have been done on various ailments that cannabis has been successful in treating, as opposed to chemotherapy and all these other pharmaceutical drugs that a psychiatrist want to write you, that your doctor is want to write you on. And some of these doctors want to give you cannabis, but hey, federal government lock them up. That's the number one tool they using to target people, to initiate the enslavement proceedings. So for him to say, if you want that done, get a bill, to force us to go through all this hell, to have all of this debate and all this through Congress, when we know they in the pockets of the big money corporations, including the pharmaceutical corporations, including the private prison corporations, they want to keep this in place as a prohibited substance so that they can keep the slave plantations full, and so that they can keep people using their pharmaceutical drugs instead of what Mother Earth has given you for free. He want to make you jump through all them hoops and red tape and spend all this money when it's totally within his power. He stated that it's not that. What kind of excuse can you give me for that? Other than he's a monkey wrench. Just say it. Just say he a monkey wrench. Because that's how the white cause the white death. If you believe that he has no free will and white supremacists got him on strings like a puppet, well, let's just, you know, also just call him a monkey just like the white supremacists do. If we want to take the white supremacist view and make excuses, then let's just use accurate terms. The way that we want to look at the world through their eyes, let's look at it through their eyes. That'll help you understand it better. They're looking at him like a monkey wrench, but I don't believe he's a monkey wrench. I believe he is a African-American person in the literal sense of the word. It's in the pockets of many of these big money corporations, and he ain't about no change. That was just a line that somebody in his campaign came up with. It sounded good. He the first black one and got, you know, it got him the votes to legitimize his installation. So he is not no icon. He is not no transformative figure. He is nothing but a CEO of USA Inc., just like the former CEOs of USA Inc., all about the corporation and maintaining the plantation. Melanin does not make you a more just person, which is what, you know, things I have read and that make logical sense to me, that it's really all about justice versus injustice. Do you want to practice justice or you want to practice injustice? You're presented with these questions every day. You're presented with scenarios and situations every day where you can either practice justice or you can practice injustice. So there is nothing about melanin that, you know, automatically you are set on default to justice. So, you know, there's just no excuse this man has free will. He's doing exactly what he wants to do in this regard, on this matter, on this issue. So that's all those are his policies. That is his policy. And you can go to the show notes. I'm not going to pull them up and read to them. I've already read them. Not just today, but when they came out, when he said these things. But if you want to check the show notes and find my sources, then just click on the today's program notes if you're on blacktalkradionetwork.com. If you are on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com, just look in the event section. You'll see the event for this program today. In the future, very near future, you'll be able to listen to the different various independent black radio stations, just like on Black Talk Radio Network, on their new social community as well. But again, it's in beta right now. Got so much to do. If we get enough subscribers, I'll be able to hire people to help handle all of this growth. So I'm going to go ahead and take a station identification break. I will check the phone line, see if anybody has a question or comment on Malia Obama's growing pains. She does a teenager growing up doing teenager things. I don't see that as, I'm not telling nobody she did something wrong. She, as an adult, 18 years old, made a decision. So, you know, anyway, I consider it a non-controversial issue. But if you want to talk about it, let's talk about USA Inc.'s global policy of drug prohibition, which is only in place, as the former CEO of USA Inc. said, Richard Nixon, to target black people. The DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, look it up, y'all. They are in Africa. Look up the story about some of the agents got busted. It got leaked. I ain't gonna say they got busted because I ain't read about not one of them going to prison, let alone being prosecuted. All they had probably had to do was resign, like the DEA head Michelle Lionheart, another monkey wrench or proxy racist, whatever term you prefer to accurately describe what it is and how it works. But she stepped down. She was finally forced. But the drug cartels down there where Malia Obama was paid these DEA agents for them to have a party. I'm sure they had drugs, alcohol, and, again, as I stated earlier, sex workers. I don't know if they had little boys. I don't know if they had little girls. I don't know if they had grown women. I don't know. Then no, as far as I know, no photos were linked, but it was also brought up as a security issue. This was why also Clinton was Secretary of State. But they, you know, that was brought up. They had their Blackberries in the room and getting drunk, passed out. These sex workers could have went through their stuff, access secret information, what have you. Planted something on them, put them in compromising positions, making them susceptible to white male or extortion. So that's what's going on the real, but you know, that's really what's going on with how this corporation and its different employees are operating. But our jails and prisons are full of everyday people like you and me. See, if Malia Obama daddy was not CEO Obama, and I wouldn't doubt it if some of the racists in the corporation do call for an investigation and a prosecution, and I expect that because they hate her because she got melanin. They just had they're on that default racist. That's how, you know, that's what their default is, racist. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if people, again, this is why you have to always be battlefield aware. You shouldn't be. I know, again, I've been in situations who, I don't know, everybody don't go to attend music concerts and stuff like that. So I'm not going to sit up here and act like I ain't done the same exact thing at this same exact age. So let's not front and act like we're Puritans or anything. Or anything. It's nothing wrong with what she did. Nothing. So that's a dead story. So I'm gonna take a station identification break. If you want to comment, we got about 23 more minutes left in the program. You can hit us up 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *61 to comment on air. The studio line 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. Again, program notes, because I will use the program notes when we come back. Donald Trump yesterday accused CEO Obama of creating ISIS. Is he right? Because I know when people read that headline, they're going to be like, oh, this is incredulous. This is Donald Trump. How dare he accuse the president, the CEO of USA Inc., the commander-in-chief of all his armed forces of you know, you creating terrorists and paying them and funding them and arming them. I mean, again, most of the people are emotionally invested in this man, and they see that melanated skin. And I understand it's that post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's nothing post about slavery. And we're still experiencing it. So again, if I want to use accurate terms, you know, every day is a traumatic experience in America. Like, you know, what was the brother name? During the 60s, the gay brother, the right, he was a writer. He said Baldwin, I think. I can't remember his first name, but he said something so true. He said to be a Negro in America is to be in a perpetual state of anger. How can you not be angered by all the inhumanity of it all? But let me not go off on that tangent. But I mean, those who do not, if you only watch corporate state news media, I'm talking about all the alphabet boys, CNN, ABC, CBS, pick, you know, pick one. Oprah's network, BET, even News One. You know, really, they don't get in depth to anything, into anything. It's all it's to generate a buzz and get you anger or one way feeling emotions one way or the other without providing you any in depth to it. Even though this classified information has been declassified through a Freedom of Information Act request, most people don't even know that this came out when it came out, showing that the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, again, they have so many different names of these different agencies within agencies and whatnot. But they talked about in 2012, and this came out in court through Freedom of Information Act request filed by Judicial Watch. It don't matter that they're a right-wing group. It don't even matter that Tom Fitton is a racist. What matter is the document itself. Let's not get distracted, okay? Let's look at the information. So a racist white supremacist sued the government and got this information, and so the current CEO at the time when this was being done is black. Oh, so I'm just going to ignore it or whatever. See, that frustrates me to no end, but I have to be more patient with people and understand that maybe their brains don't work like mine, or they're not doing the research and putting the time in to researching these things, and they're just taking what they're getting from the propaganda, the white supremacist propaganda channels, and they're running with it. So that's just being irresponsible. It's being irresponsible. So we'll talk about that. Is there truth to that? Did USA Inc. create ISIS? Inform people. Y'all already know the answer to this. It's easy. Uninformed people, we will provide you with more details on the other side of this break. We're going to kick some message music. I'll check the phone lines, because again, I don't need a whole lot of time to present you with facts, but we will check the phone lines, see if anybody has any questions or commentaries or any sources they want to point us to. All right, and so we'll be back on the other side. Want to kick some message music. There's some new music also from our friend Sincere Nokwari. I haven't uploaded it to my software for the radio show, but I have uploaded it to the video section on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com, where he produced a track for the artist. Great work, Sincere. But we're going to listen to a track from his God Life Beats album and then come back and hit you off with this information. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting on Black Talk Radio Network, deep behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
Sincere Nokwari. Don't let the church shoes fool you, man. Alright? You know what I mean? You understand?
This relief, brothers and sisters, you can see many concepts where they came in, as I said, like scavengers, and picked different pieces. On this particular relief, you can see where the Western world, through Judaism, took a piece of a concept of the creation story from. You can see where the Greek philosophers took a concept of Greek philosophy from. And you can also see where Christianity took a concept, European Christianity took a concept from. So let's break it down. Fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. This is where Judaism took a portion of this to make up their Genesis story with the Sanhedrins around 250 BC. From this relief right here of God fashioning man and woman on the potter's wheel. And they took other concepts of atom from Heliopolis creation story or the city of On to make up their Adam as a man when actually it was Atum the son. Canoon, fashioning man out of clay and called him Jehovah. Notice the god Canoon. And we see European Christianity took from the goddess Isis and Horus and made up the European, again, let me express, the European version of Mary and Jesus. Copied directly from these reliefs right here. So you got Greek philosophy, where he took from Tahuti and called it Hermes Trismegistus. You got the Jehovah Genesis creation story and the Bible, where they took from Canoom, fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. And they turned it into making man out of clay, Adam out of clay. And you also got Christianity right here showing Isis lactating or breastfeeding the holy child Horus, who was born of immaculate conception and virgin birth. Three concepts just from this one relief. You see, all carved in stone. As you can see the line, one dark, one light, showing where this temple was under the water. Nobody could come back and read this. And that's why over here, look against this wall right here, much of it they tried to chisel it all out, but our ancestors wrote endlessly as though one day we would forget our story, one day we would not know who we are, one day that the only thing that would be put on our genetic memory bank would be an alien, a conqueror's story, and our minds, our story would not be told. That's why Justinian in the 6th century AD came in and closed these temples down, because they were copying Christianity, the theological concept from African people. Brother, I assure you sisters that y'all safe. You are goddesses. Notice they chiseled off the top part of it because that represents the wound. But the other part they kept there to represent the crucifix. You see? That symbol that they didn't take or didn't chisel out was a symbol of the cross. They didn't chisel that one out. So this is another picture of Constantine. Constantine's vision of the cross, which he is pointing to this symbol, Sec Vincius. In this symbol, we shall conquer. Through this symbol, we shall conquer. Supposedly, Constantine got the cross out on the battlefield. Another picture, but now that we know that Constantine came here, now we know where, in fact, Constantine got the cross from. Huh? Right off of your ancestor temples. Has nothing to do with no crucifixion or human sacrifice. Europeans corrupted it. Now we have no understanding or meaning of what the cross means today. And chisel out the Ankh, which is a symbol for life. And that's why Justinian in the 6th century AD came in and closed these temples down.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I'm Scotty Reed. I'm behind these enemy lines deep in the heart of North Carolina. I'm almost in South Carolina. I'm like right across the border. I'm in the heart of KKK country. Yes, I am. So that's why, you know, I can't get down with that Second Amendment agenda. I got some mail today from some of the politicians, one of the politicians running to be a board member of CEO, of USA Inc. He won't, you know, be appointed to have a vote on the board as to the policies. And he was talking about the Second Amendment, and he's totally against banning bans on ammunition. He's not for that, you know. Got like 100% rating from the NRA, but you know, cause I'm in KKK country, that's what I'm, you know, I don't want any kind of gun restrictions that they trying to put in place. I think what's in place is enough. That they need to improve upon what they have, you know what I'm saying? But all this anti-gun rhetoric that I'm hearing from certain political parties and whatnot that want to put platforms that's going to enforce their will, members of their party's will, on everybody else. That's really what we're talking about, folks, because that's all USA Inc. does, is impose its corporate agenda on every single human being on the planet. So that's what we're talking about. So that's why I was thinking about, you know, the Second Amendment. I shared a story on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. If you're a member, you send me a friendship request and what have you. But yeah, I was saying, I was in the post office the other day sending out some t-shirts that people had made donations of $25 to get the thank you t-shirts and what have you. So I was mailing off some, and this dude looked like Steve Austin, the wrestler, and later became, you know, an actor in action movies. And then this guy really, to me, looked like he just got out of prison, you know. The kind of car they was driving, a old Toyota, I know they probably own, you know, let's just be what they call it, welfare. They own the EBT car and all of that. Not seeing anything bad. But then the dude looking at my address, because see, when looking at the addresses on the packages, I had to go right back up to the doggone counter because my stuff be prepaid. I don't have to wait in line. I just set it on the section where you drop off those sort of. But this dude walks over looking at the, man, I had to walk up and turn them face down so he couldn't see the address, because it had my home address on there. You know what I'm saying? So he might be looking for an opportunity to steal something, to break in somebody's house. You know, I don't know if he'd been in prison. He looked like a skinhead. He was bald-headed, like Steve Austin. And so, you know, this is why we have to stay strapped behind these enemy lines. So I ain't mean to go off on that tangent, but for whatever reason, I shared that with you. Now, let's get to Donald Trump yesterday accusing CEO Obama of creating ISIS. The question I asked in the program notes is he right? This is what I wrote. According to documents released in a FOIA request last year, that would be 2015, show the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. So this would be the USDIA. Sounds sort of like the CIA, don't it? U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency on August the 12th, 2012. Look, you breaking it down to the dates that the document was released, that show the U.S. was supporting Islamic terrorists in its attempted regime change in Syria. And I link to more information at the Washington blog. So let's pull up the Washington blog. You will see an article that was published in May of 2015, last year. And I'm just sharing it with you. For many years, wait a minute, Judicial Watch, they are the ones that's getting all this information on Hillary through that she tried to hide on the private server. This is the same organization. I got many problems with this organization, but the documents are what they are. Judicial Watch has for many years obtained sensitive U.S. government documents through freedom of information requests and lawsuits. The government just produced documents to Judicial Watch in response to a freedom of information suit, which showed that the West has long supported ISIS. The documents were written by the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency on August the 12th, 2012, years before ISIS burst onto the world stage. Here are screenshots from the documents. We have highlighted the relevant parts in yellow. So I'm going to just read that. The Salafists, I believe that's how you pronounce it, the Muslim Brotherhood, and AQI are the major forces driving the insurgency in Syria. C, the West, Gulf countries, and Turkey support the opposition, while Russia, China, and Iran support, and they call it the regime, because they into regime change. As we know, that's been the Bush doctrine. It's always been the CEO. I mean, there have been articles documenting just a long history going back to, I think, the 1950s, the overthrow of Iran. These intelligence agencies, whatever their acronyms are, of supporting insurgents, whether they be terrorists or what have you, or just some people, mercenaries, really, just mercenaries. So, Donald Trump is actually making a comment that's based on fact. I don't know how he said it, what he said. I tell you, let's see what he said. Now, let me go to the videos on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. I think I posted a corporate media report that I felt was short enough that you wasn't going to get hit with too much propaganda. But let me see if I can find that one and cue up that audio. Donald Trump, he's saying that Clinton is the MVP of ISIS. And he is correct. She used ISIS to overthrow Gaddafi in the legitimate Libyan government, which at the time was a U.S. ally. This is an ally. Get that through your head. They have signed agreements, contracts, whatever, treaties with the United States. We'll give up, in Libya's case, we won't use chemical weapons. We'll give up chemical weapons. We won't pursue nuclear weapons and what have you. We won't support terrorist groups and what have you that you have designated as terrorist groups. We just gonna focus on providing the best life we can for our citizens using the oil revenue and our ingenuity and engineering and turning the desert into a farmland and what have you. And we gonna help the Africans, you know, other African nations, you know, launch their own satellite, communication satellite. We're going to support infrastructure building in these other less developed African nations. We're going to propose an African currency backed by the gold dinar that'll make us the top currency in the world. Therefore, we would be the African supremacists of the planet. White supremacy would be dead and gone. It'd be over. Game freaking over. And Hillary Clinton used terrorists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whatever name. The CIA was backing one group. I think it was Al-Nusra. The Pentagon was funding, training, arming the other group called ISIS. All of this hits the alternative media or media from overseas that often gets blocked here in the United States. And you definitely ain't going to hear about it on any of the major corporate networks that's on your listed in your cable guide. They are, you know, executives throughout decades from my studies of media propaganda. Executives of these corporations, these media corporations, have said it is their patriotic duty to lie to the American people to get them to buy into whatever war USA Inc. is selling. But this is Donald Trump, what he had to say yesterday about Hillary Clinton and I guess just the Obama administration supporting ISIS. Let's go ahead and cue that up for you.
Donald Trump is standing by these comments. And look, what Republicans have said they wanted from Trump is to turn up the heat on Hillary Clinton. I'm just not exactly sure that this is what they meant. Trump coming out and saying Hillary Clinton and President Obama are the founders of ISIS. He had especially pointed remarks about that today in his speech. Take a listen.
I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders. In fact, I think we'll give Hillary Clinton the, you know, if you're on a sports team, most valuable player, MVP. You get the MVP award. ISIS will hand her the most valuable player award. Her only competition is Barack Obama.
Now, what was interesting, Ashley, is this was certainly the harshest attack he levied against Hillary Clinton in this speech on a day when Hillary Clinton's talking about the economy. Now, Trump did ding her, saying that she's going to raise taxes and he's going to cut them. He talked about how he's the only person who can bring the housing market back, which, of course, is a huge issue here in Florida, but not really making the kind of full-throated argument on the economy that many in his campaign and many Republicans sort of thought he might be coming out this week and making. And raising more than a few eyebrows with this claim that Hillary Clinton is one of the founders of ISIS.
Now, obviously, that was CNN. If you watched, had a chance to watch the video, but that was the what I heard Dave call the Cerebio Naive Network, and it's CNN. Others have called it the Clinton News Network. But again, it's a short clip, but you can learn a lot about racism and white supremacy through the media by listening to that clip. They tried to make it look like this was an outrageous claim. They didn't do any kind of fact checking. And that's another thing, because you got these websites like factcheck.org and others who may or may not be funded by corporations. You know, who knows who's funding them and what have you. I know George Soros funds a lot. And again, if you new to listening to this program, I'm not no partisan guy. I don't play the partisan person who I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. No. You can't come at me with that. I'm just presenting the facts as an objective observer. All right? And the fact is that he is correct, that his comment is based in facts. I just shared the facts with you. It's up to you to do the research, because obviously CNN wants you to believe, oh, this is just Donald Trump just making an outrageous claim, all saying Hillary Clinton is the MVP of ISIS, and they going, if they were handing out awards at a banquet or something, who is the MVP? The top two candidates is CEO Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, because they turned Libya over to terrorists. Gaddafi was locking them up. But I don't have time to get into the details. We talked about the details. Others, if you want to find out more information about what really went on in Benghazi and how the whole agenda is to overthrow Syria to the benefit of Israel. This is from Hillary Clinton's emails. Again, discovered through information, FOI requests. So it's not Scotty Reed making up some stuff. I'm not the fake brother that come on the radio and lying to you, because I'm hoping to get hired by the Hillary Clinton campaign. I just want to attract people who tend to throw money at media that supports the Democratic Party. I'm not that guy. I'm not fake brother. This ain't the fake brother network. Okay? I'm just going to present the facts, and they are as they are. If you choose to ignore these facts and your conscience or your moral compass points towards practicing injustice by giving your energy, giving your support to people who have committed crimes against humanity and are still engaged in crimes against humanity, then that's on you. And that just says about who you are. Let's just keep it simple. There are no gray areas. Either you are for justice or you for injustice. Either you for terrorism or you against terrorism. Either you for spreading global white supremacy or you against it. There ain't no in between. Ain't no gray areas. I don't know what your moral compass is based on. I understand some people, you know, they don't have any kind of spiritual beliefs or practices. They're not Christians. They're not Muslims. They're not Buddhists. They're not anything. So I don't know what they base their moral compass off of. But I know a lot of people claiming to practice the religions that I name and the ones I'm more familiar with and the moral codes that are found in them. Well, many of them have contradictions. You got the Old Testament. You got the New Testament. But if you just pay attention to the teachings of Yeshua, you ain't practicing damn justice. You ain't following. I don't know what your code is based on. Your code is based on, I'm just on this team and I'm cheering for this team. I don't care if they cheat to win the game. I don't care. It's better than the other team winning. That's where you at. That's childish. That's how, you know, if you were attending a junior, you know, when I played junior high basketball, you know, that whole atmosphere, or high school basketball. The other team comes into the gym and you're rooting against them. It's you know, and if your coach is a cheater, let's lose football. Like Bill Belichick of the Patriots and you know, it appears your quarterback might have engaged in some cheating with some deflated balls, and you don't care. You don't care about all that matter is the win, baby. See what I'm saying? The same in politics. That is where most people operate from. They are not serious about practicing politics. And this is a very important area of the nine people activity areas as counter-racist author, practitioner Neely Fuller Jr. came up with. You're not being serious. You're saying this person is better than the other person and they're both evil and engaged in evil practices. And then, well, you saying I got to choose? No, you don't got to choose. That's that third choice. Don't got to choose. Or you could choose like me. I'm going to choose to vote for the Green Party in that position. But my focus ain't really on CEO. I'm focused on controlling the local politics and that by helping them get a certain percentage of ballots cast for their ticket would allow them to establish themselves as a party in my state. And since their platform is more radical, more progressive, more moral, then who knows, if I run for state office to control local politics here or something like that, then I will do it through them and not have to join the Republicans, not have to join the Democrats, not have to join the Libertarians, because I helped them through my vote along with however many other people voted for them in a presidential election, establish a beachhead here. I just wanted to throw my own monkey wrench into the mix of politics here in the state. And that was a successful. See, I'm thinking way down the road. I'm thinking years ahead like white supremacists do. I'm not caught up in who will be the CEO for the next 4 years, because like H. Rap Brown said, who changed his name when he converted to Islam, the current political prisoner, Imam Jamil Alameen, said back then, no matter who's CEO of USA Inc., black folks gonna have to be opposed to them because of their policies that they are going to uphold the white supremacist agenda. So, Donald Trump is correct. So anybody that tells you anything different, they're lying or they're uninformed. This is, it's, you know, has been reported on by a number of outlets. Just don't use the sources I did. Do your own searches. For example, I mentioned that Clinton said she would do this to destroy Israel. They destroyed Libya. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people murdered. Evidence that she knew of war crimes being committed by these jihadists against black people doing ethnic cleansing. And did nothing, said nothing, didn't step in, nothing, because they knew that was going to happen. That was there. That's collateral damage. That's what we got to do. We got to sacrifice these people at the altar of white supremacy so we can help the religious icon of white supremacy, which is Israel. All right. Clinton did, from newsobserveronline.com. Again, I'm backing you up. I'm backing up what I'm telling you with sources. A newly released Hillary Clinton email confirmed that the Obama administration has deliberately provoked the civil war in Syria as the best way to help Israel. The best way to help Israel do what? Practice racism and white supremacy as they have done since their founding? Even support, expressing public support, never wavering in their support for the white supremacist regimes that started to fall in Africa. In an indication of her murderous and psychopathic nature, Clinton also wrote that it was the right thing to personally threaten Bashar Assad's family with death. But y'all hear about Donald Trump, and he's sick too. But you heard about him from the corporate media talking about, he said, we'll go after their families. Well, he's basing that off of what he's reading now that he can read classified documents, whether they classified or unclassified or whatnot. He got people around him to know this. He already know that's their policy. The president, for God's sake, CEO Obama walking around with a kill list in his front pocket, y'all. How long has this been common knowledge, or should have been common knowledge, to people who are informed and not just casual observers of the most important activity, people activity on the planet? This has been their personal policy, even against U.S. citizens. Going after one of their target's son 2 weeks later, 16-year-old son. It's in the documents that 16 years old, we look at y'all as enemy combatants. You ain't no civilian. So let me continue with this piece. It says, in the email released by WikiLeaks, then Secretary of State Clinton says the best way to help Israel is to use force in Syria to overthrow the government. The document was one of many unclassified by the U.S. Department of State under case number. They even giving you the dang on case number so you can look it up. Case number F-2014-20439.doc.number.CO5794498. But I saw a preacher man from North Carolina get up on the DNC stage and talk about Hillary Clinton working towards being a moral person. Huh, you can't look at her age, man. She is, if you thinking about saving her soul and leading her to Christ, man, this woman has done sold her soul to the devil, and she'll tell you whatever the hell you want to hear, because you know her father, as I have read in that book that you preach from, is the father of all lies. So she like her father, man. How you going to be in your doggone 70s or approaching 70 and you know, all of a sudden your moral compass just going to flip? And then, you know, for him to say she's working, this is not a moral woman. This woman don't care. All of these refugees that's coming here to the United States and being displaced, Syrian refugees, they doing that purposely for the benefit of Israel. Again, why? Because it's a beacon of white supremacy. It's the expression of white supremacy on the African continent. So that's what he means. He's being tongue-in-cheek. He's being tongue-in-cheek when he says that Obama and Hillary Clinton are the most valuable players for ISIS. He's meaning that their policies created it. And they're funding it. So he's being, you know, he's saying it the way he's saying it. But is there some truth? Now, after you've listened to this program, I want you to pay attention to how, like the example, I played the clip from CNN. Pay attention to how they're covering this and see if they will bring up the FOI request by the Judicial Watch that found that the, what was it called? Again, the U.S. Military Intelligence Agency. I remember that because it sounds like CIA, MIA. Produced a document in 2012. And it's common knowledge for the informed that Reagan created Al-Qaeda. Said in the media that to the public that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, or another one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. They funded bin Laden, who organized the Mujahideen, which later turned into Al-Qaeda, which now has morphed into ISIS. And then there are so many of them. There's so many names. They have as many names as USA Inc. and all its different apparatuses have for their different agencies and terrorist groups. So I'm just coming at you with the facts. I'm not coming at you with any conjecture, with, you know, anything that's not based in the truth. Because I take my access to these airways on a station that reaches so many people on a month-to-month basis and have reached millions since 2008. I take this responsibility serious. I'm not going to get on these airways and present you with a bunch of lies purposely like Fake Brother do. I'm going to well research it. And I'm going to provide you with the sources so that you can check my sources and then even further find more sources to confirm for yourself that tell-lie vision, as it has been called, is telling you a bunch of lies. They're framing your view of the world, and it's not even based on what's real. It's not even based on reality. They created your reality through news reports, and even deeper through, you know, entertainment media and what have you. That is what plagues the masses, and that is why I ventured into this type of work, and I take it very seriously. I can't control all the different voices you might hear on this platform. Not that I'm trying to control them, because I do believe in free speech, but, you know, it gets to a point, to a limit, to where, you know what I'm saying, it becomes harmful, then no, it's got to go. Because I have a responsibility to the people that's tuning in. So, anyway, that is my program for today. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time will be Tando Radio Show. It will be a pre-recorded broadcast. You will be able to listen in the regular ways through the phone or through the radio station. But it won't be live, so, you know, hold your questions or anything. He mentioned on his last program he had something to do, and so he was going to pre-record it this morning, and so he has done that, and so that is what will air on the station during his regular time slot. Blacks in Business Radio, which comes on at 9 o'clock, has been canceled for tonight, and I just remembered I forgot to send out a message through our station chat group. Oh man, I forgot to send out one about Black Talk Radio News being live, but I will send that out to those who have subscribed for text messages or emails about you know, what's going on with the station live updates. You won't get hit with a whole bunch of information spam or anything, just when live programs are coming on or when they have been canceled. Just a new thing we're trying, a few people signed up, just trying to, you know, extend our services and make the station more interactive and user friendly. So again, Tando Radio Show coming up at 6. No BIB Radio tonight. It will, you can check out their podcast on blacktalkradionetwork.com, or just do a search, as it's distributed. The network podcasts are distributed through all various types of platforms, so you'll be able to find it. So that's all I got for you today. I will be back on air tomorrow, Friday, which is August the 12th, with another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Let me close these airways by saying, always be battlefield aware. Don't be so trusting of people. This is why I don't like going around crowds either. You know, not that I'm really scared of crowds. I just, you know, I'm not going to enjoy a concert because I'm too busy being battlefield aware, because I don't want to get shot by some fool that just, you know, snuck a gun in and then saw somebody he ain't like and just shooting at him, no regard. I don't want to be caught. See, that's what I'm going to be worried about. I'm going to be worried about the slave catchers and you know, just too much. So if you still engage in that, I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying why I don't. But if you are out there, see, you got to be battlefield aware. Especially if you are in a well-known person and you just doing everything, things and whatnot, people will record you to use you and make money off of you. And you don't want this to be out in the public. So there are just so many reasons we got to be battlefield aware, not just to dodge the slave catchers, therefore dodging slavery. I mean, it's just so many situations that call for us to be battlefield aware. So y'all be careful out there. Always be cognizant when you're around other people. If you're outside of your home, and I'm assuming you're in a home where you trust the people in that home and you know they got your back and you got their back, you know, but you have to be aware. Even if you're in a home where you can trust everybody, you got to be aware of what's going on outside the home, because some racist skinhead might have just got out of prison at the post office. You came across might be looking at the doggone address on the package that you just dropped off, just being straight up nosy because he planned on coming to rob you. So you got to always be aware. Peace and blessings to all. Just be safe out there. I'm out.